Hi, this is Russ from the organization Shatter the Darkness. This is for the web students and others who are taking the course Confronting the Powers through the Great Commission. I just want to welcome you to the class and say that we're really excited about it. We have local individuals here on Sunday night that meet for the class. And then we have students around the country, the United States, and even an international student from England. And there's a few more yet to sign up in this next week. So we're pretty excited about all of you who've joined in, especially over the web. And this is the first time after 20 years that we have offered a course. I know what took us so long. We want to get more of the courses. We have 14 separate styles of courses that we'd like to put out, and this is one of the most up-to-date ones. So I want to go over those of you who have gotten the packets in front of you, and those of you who have getting the packets through the mail in other parts of the country. When you get your packet and you got the CD in, obviously, we're going to encourage you to open up to that first page, the great big, just the flyer page is Confronting the Powers. That is just the page we used for registration. The next page is simply Welcome to the Students, an intensive cutting-edge course that we're offering from Shatter the Darkness, and also Preemption Broadcast will have a number of extras that we'll be adding to the course for you to go to and you know, download or use or whatever else, and learn from. So if you need to go to the website www.shatterthedarkness.net, or if you want to go to the podcast and other extra teachings, www.shatterthedarkness.net/preemption, and that's all the materials you've got. If you turn to the third page, and just so you know too, we've already prayed for you in the class, and again, just appreciative that you're involved, and God is providentially and has a divine appointment for you during this time. So as you look at the third page in, it says, what will you need? This is very important, because over the years we've seen numerous students come to classes, and because of the nature of the class, it does seem like sometimes there's more warfare, things like that, and individuals have difficulty, and they drop out the first 3 or 4 weeks. We've seen that happen. The majority still make it all the way through, but we want to make sure that you make it all the way through. So there's five things in the beginning. Number one, have a heart and life that's committed to the Lord Jesus Christ. And just remember to be under His Lordship under the entire time, turning to Him, looking to Him, asking Him, you know, just everything you read and everything you go through, really just bring before the Lord Jesus and trust that He'll be there to guide and to teach and to use materials, and especially the Word of God, to cause you to grow and continue to develop. Number two, we want you to have a growing life of prayer and study in the Word of God. So we're going to encourage you. You might be already a powerful prayer intercessor and be doing a lot of things in prayer. Either way, we want you to just really grow and expand in this area. And we're going to probably ask you to, you know, as we work with this prayer map, to do some things maybe not done before. So you're going to need just the biggest issue concerning prayer mapping, the way we do it here, is the issue of time, giving God time to use your life. We want you to be a great student of the Word, to study it, to know it well, to check on every single verse, and to look over everything that is said, so that you know the Word of God, that the Word of God is consistently and systematically taught. Number three, excuse me, a commitment to do the lessons weekly and stay current. Now, this is important because as you get these lessons, whether at the local level or in the mail and over the web, it's very important that you stay current, because every week you will have homework, you'll have materials to go through and assignments to get done. If you go 2 or 3 weeks into it and don't have any of that done and try to catch up, it's going to be a big burden to you. So we want you to just you know, take your time on a weekly basis, make a committed time to this. Really give it to the Lord, because you're the one that's going to get the most out of it if you take the time not just to listen to the lectures and teachings and so forth, but also to get before the Lord and just really study and really look up things and answer the questions, write down the notes, and have a lot of time for interaction. And then also the practical side. You cannot really grow in the Lord, in the Word of God, without doing the practical things. If you're learning about prayer, you're going to be involved in prayer. If you're learning about witnessing, you're going to be involved in witnessing. And so it's all about really coming to know the Lord better, know the Word of God better, and then moving that into practice and experience to see the hand of God work in your life and work through you. Number four is simply this, a life that seeks to be ablaze for God. Now, this is very important because prayer does, prayer is God's agenda. I mean, He created this for us. It is a blessing of our communication to God, our seeking things for our own life, but it is also about how we pray for the kingdom to come, to be advanced, for souls, for lives, and how to use spiritual authority against the dark side as we see it ramping up all around us. So in this, be yielded to the Holy Spirit. Ask the Lord to just really cause you to be ablaze in the Spirit. There's a great verse in Romans chapter 12, verse 11, where it says, "Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor," or some translate that word there, "keep ablaze with the Spirit, serving the Lord." So God wants you to stay on fire. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 tells us that we're not to put out the Spirit's fire. We're not to quench the Spirit. And if you rise in faith and stay in obedience and keep growing and especially continue to be strong in your worship and in your prayer and in your witness, you're going to be ablaze for God and God's going to use your life. He really will. Five, we're going to encourage you to have a growing fearlessness in the face of the demonic. Because as the Word of God has predicted towards the end of days, the greatest ramping up and manifestation of demonic presence will occur. That's why there are so many individuals that are demonized and so many people having experiences, supernatural experiences from the dark side. We have over 60 million New Agers in the United States. Father Shefton in his book estimated 100,000 covens. In Europe, it's worse. England, it's worse. So there's a tremendous manifestation from the other side as far as alternative spirituality, practices, experiences. But you can begin, especially as a believer, if you've been someone involved in studies, and obviously most of you taking the course are highly concerned with what's going on and how you can add fuel to the fire that God has already given you and to be strong in these days. So we just encourage you to keep growing and take Joshua 1:9 and just simply yield to what God says. You'll have to look it up. I'm not going to give you this one. Joshua chapter 1, verse 9. A tremendous verse to call us because in our obedience to that verse, we'll be able to manifest and demonstrate the hand of God in and through our lives a lot better. Well, I'm going to go on to three of the books in the next 12 weeks, and we may go 12 to 14 weeks. Three books that we're going to use in the course. And I sent those out also on an email basis to where you just click if you want to go get them from Amazon to your local bookstore for the local students. You got we're meeting inside a bookstore, so you can grab those from Cornerstone. The first one is called Prayer on Fire, vital book, a new one out. And the second book we're going to get later. You won't even need it for at least 4 or 5 weeks, The Incomparable Christ. And the third book, Revival, you won't need that till like the 9th week, 10th week. So you can click on there and look at those. You can order them ahead of time if you'd like to. The one you're going to need right away, I mean, if you haven't already gotten it, get Prayer on Fire as soon as possible, because this first lesson has homework for you to do in that book. It's important you get that. Down further in that page, what you will need is the study guides. And you'll be getting a notebook probably by the 2nd or 3rd week. We don't want you to have that. We want you to have just some experiential things prior to the notebook coming to you. So in the first packet, you're going to get the whole sequence of what we call the prayer map, or where we do prayer mapping. And we're going to go over that in this CD and over that in the lecture tonight. So we want you to just, you'll have that in your hand later on, halfway through somewhere, that you'll get a study guide, and you'll have either web-based information, the podcast that'll deal with the Book of Daniel, or you'll have the lectures here locally that you'll be able to go through that study guide with me, going chapter by chapter and verse by verse. Tremendous book of the Bible. You might want to read it through 10 times in the next 10, 12, 14 weeks and just see how Daniel lived and how God was able to use his life along with a few of his friends. There's a very key thing in the first chapter, where in verse 17, in verse 8, and verse 20, it's all because he resolved not to let himself be defiled any other way. So we'll give you more information along the way of what you're going to need, some of the extra things that you can do. And so we'll have a site up that deals also just with the students. But either way, you'll get a weekly update on the emails. And then I'll be interacting with the local class on Sunday nights. And then we'll be podcasting the lectures and sending those in packets to all of you who are throughout the United States and to our dear friend now that is in England. So we want to keep each other in prayer and just pray for the students and pray for the course and know that you're being prayed for by me. I've got all the names of all the students here, and I'll be covering you in prayer and asking the Lord to bless you. It's a personal note towards the bottom. Yes, you will experience spiritual warfare as you take this course. I'm absolutely assured of that because the disciples, when they were being ready to be launched, prior to that time, Jesus sat with them and said, "Simon, Simon, Satan has asked to sift you as wheat, but I've prayed for you that your faith would not fail." So it's very important that when you take a course like this, where you're going to learn more about how the enemy is working, his schemes, some of the deep things about biblical prophecy that reveals his workings in the world around, you're going to get biblical revelation. Your eyes and hearts will just simply be open to what the enemy is doing and what God is doing and what we need to do in the midst of it. Because there's a raging battle for the souls of men and a raging battle eventually for control and leadership of the world around us. I mean, we're dealing with stuff not only at a local level where we see individuals that are caught up in satanic webs, but we know that on a large global scale, Satan is going to bring about his man, the Antichrist, on the earth. He's going to have hundreds of millions that are behind him. And we need to be prepared and be able to see some of the things that are coming. So don't be afraid to ask for prayer. Stay prayed up during the time. Stay committed to the Lord. If you have students with you or friends with you to take the class, that's one of the best things to do, is to pray together, take the class together, form a group. You can prayer map together. I love prayer mapping by myself, but I love it all the more when I'm with a team of four or five people where we're pouring out the prayers. Let me tell you tonight, too, that Acts 9:22 is for you. This is Saul of Tarsus, who just got saved, filled with the Spirit of God. He began to step out in obedience, and the Bible says that he grew more and more powerful. And that's what's going to happen in your life. If you will just simply obey the Word of God, follow the Lord Jesus, you will become stronger in that. Not that there will not be struggle, but you're going to find a great victory and a great strength and a great empowerment from the Lord coming into your life. Let's take a look at the next page. This is the course outline, basic course outline, and it shows you about 12 weeks. Because of the way we're doing this, it may end up being 14 weeks for some of you because those in the rest of the United States and outside the country, you'll be getting your lessons, you know, anywhere from 5 days to 10 days after the local students have gone through theirs. So for you guys, we're going to continue things. So it may all the way, you know, for you might seem like 14 weeks, but all the more a blessing to have as much as possible given to us. So let's take a look at the course outline, some of the things you can expect that we're going to do over the next number of weeks. Very important for us to know some of the things we're going to get into. Of course, this week, we're going over just simply the introduction, and we're going to be going over the prayer map in a few moments. And one of the things I want to ask you to do this week, I mean, just immediately, is in week number one, take the book of Acts and begin to read through the book of Acts and specifically look for power encounters. What do I mean by that? That means whenever the demonic or Satan is showing up to confront the church, or where believers and Christians who are out on the field, you know, evangelizing, sharing Christ, where they're having to confront demon-possessed individuals, you're going to notice that this happens more often than you thought. And I say this to you now because it's going to happen more often in the world around us. And we simply need to see more and more tremendous believers out there on the field that can pray up things good, Be a witness for Christ, most important, and pray for individuals and their needs and healing and so forth, but also clearly be prepared to deal with the demonic, whether it's oppression, attachment, or possession in somebody's life. So read through the book of Acts this week. That's one of the assignments. Just saturate yourself. Let God speak to you. Show you the encounters in Acts chapter 5 with Ananias and Sapphira, how Satan tried to enter and get into the church. And just look at Peter, what occurred there. You'll read later on concerning the seven sons of Sceva and the Jewish sorcerers who were trying to use Jesus' name, though they didn't know him. And the demon knew that. And another time when Paul and his team are in Ephesus and they're going through evangelizing, and a young girl who has a demon spirit, a python, the original Greek says, that's predicting the future, and literally the men were making money off of her. You're going to see where there's an encounter there and what results from it. You're going to see this happen also in other areas as you go through the book of Acts. You're going to see it happening on the field. Now, if we're out on the field praying and witness, especially witnessing and sharing Christ, we will engage it, not just from our computers, but from actual. I mean, there's lots of people out there that need freedom in Christ. They need to know him. They need to be set free. The only way to get free from demonic attachment and presence is the Lord Jesus Christ and his authority, what he's done at the cross. So it's very important as we go through this introduction that you take some time to look through the book of Acts and really read it over again and again. Ask the Lord to show you how those power encounters occurred and who was the victor and how they were demonstrated. That's very important. In the second week or session or so, you're going to get a study lecture called Confrontation in the Heavenlies, where it all begins. The ascended masters, as some call them, the advanced beings, the demonic realm. And we're going to take a look from the origins and then the nature of the war that has come here to the earth and the war that is raging spiritually and that will bring about enormous devastation. And so we know that from the very beginning we did not just fall on our own. There was a fallen being, Satan, that came and engaged the human race, and he's engaging it to this very day. And obviously with you taking this course, you know of his presence. And you're going to have to engage him in Christ because you're a believer whom God has given authority. So we're going to talk about the confrontation in the heavenlies at first. Week 3, we'll deal with the confrontation in the Old Testament. We're going to see what happens in Genesis 1, what happens in the life of Job, in the life of Israel, the issue of Nephilim, and the demonic bloodlines and so forth. We're going to touch on some of that and see the progress of the satanic agenda. It simply hasn't gone away. Satan has an agenda, and we'll get into more of that as we get into weeks 4, 5, and 6. Week 4. It deals with confrontation with the Christ of God, the blood and the cross. Here's where we want you to begin to read and read deeply the book, The Incomparable Christ. And I'll have a small study guide with that we'll put out too at week 4. And we want you to take 2 or 3 weeks to work through that. But this is an incredible book written by Oswald Sanders, giving us just insight in Scripture, the systematic study of Scripture, Christ's eternal existence, his pre-existence, prior to his incarnation, just the awesome center of looking at who Jesus is and everything about him, the incomparable Christ, and what occurred at the cross when Jesus came and crushed and broke the demonic and the satanic power there. We'll talk about that in week 4 and have some lectures on that. In week 5, we have confronting the powers in the church and the authority that God has given. Jesus said, "I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail or withstand it." So we were birthed as a church that has been birthed into context of spiritual war. He has released us to be a vessel of grace to the world, but we are also a weapon of warfare. Whether we're seeing that in our local churches or not, that's another story. But we should be seeing both of these cutting edges, a tremendous vessel of grace, mercy, of preaching salvation and healing and being freed in Christ and the love of God, but also wielding the authority of Christ, living in the armor of God, and seeing Jesus continue to do what it says he was going to do. 1 John chapter 3, verse 8, the reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the devil's work. And that work of Satan still needs to be crushed, and it continues to be crushed as we exercise the authority of Christ, see people redeemed and set free, and use the authority to continue to see God crush Satan under our feet. So that's a vital, pivotal point concerning the cross and the blood of Jesus that we're going to be taking a look at. We're going to come then to week six, confronting the powers and satanic prophecy. We're going to take a look, and I just kind of put this quote there, intelligent design, ? Is there intelligence behind the satanic agenda? Yes, there is. There was behind Hitler also. A perverted and wicked strategy, yes. But there is intelligence, there is design. And we're going to take a look at some of the biblical prophecies concerning what Satan is up to. God's already given us a future look at what he is doing in the world and what he will be doing in the world and the devastation that will come because of his manifestation. I see this happen in individual lives when they have opened up, whether through ignorance or other ways, they've opened up the doors to the demonic side, and the demonic has gotten in. And it seems that this deception always leads to destruction. And we'll talk about some of those cases when we come there, some real cases. And we might even have some recordings of some of those deliverance sessions for you to hear. Week number seven, confronting the powers. Is it real or is it Memorex? We're going to deal with those who are skeptics and cessationists during this week. We're going to really delve into the fact that the non-believing world in the realm of politics and military and psychology that simply do not have the Spirit of Christ in them cannot perceive and handle, deal with, and help anybody that has any demonic problems in their lives. They just simply will not be able to help in this problem. Jesus commissioned those who believe in him with authority, and we only will have that authority to do something in behalf of Christ for other individuals. So it's very important that we take a look at that. Skeptics, really skepticism, and those who kind of mock simply have no fruit, and they're not able to help. And so we want to take a look at how the disciples and what they were doing and how they bore fruit. That's what Jesus wants us to do. Let's take a look at week eight. We're going to deal with the ramping up of the demonic presence. We're going to then ask you to begin to read and read again in the book of Daniel. You'll be getting either CDs on the book of Daniel, or you'll be getting the lectures locally in the class. We're going to deal with Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Did they run? Is that what we're supposed to do in the ramping up of the demonic? Run? Resistance? Is resistance good enough? Or do we need revival? Do we need to see the kingdom of God expressed even in the darkest times? So it's going to be very important. We'll give an illustration of Goliath in the Old Testament coming from a demonized tribe, maybe even a tribe that had Nephilim blood, cursing and mocking God, the God of Israel. And no one would go down and deal with him until eventually Daniel would go down. And because of his faith in the Lord, you know, the Lord of heaven and earth, he was able to see a great victory. But that power of God and demonstration of God through his little life would never have occurred if he wouldn't have got on the field. So is it going to be running or resistance, or even further than that, revival? And we'll talk about that in the ninth or the eighth week. The ninth week, we're going to deal with ritual warfare and the satanic super soldiers. We're going to give to you pieces of stuff from the underground. Now, it's only the tip of the iceberg. But how they're training their own in the area of spiritual warfare, how they're training their own to do spiritual warfare against pastors and churches and Christians, how we're going to see that the reason for the ramping up of demonic presence in the last days involves the presence of those who are opening these doors through occult-level ritual warfare, and that will lead us right into week 10 when we'll describe occult-level spiritual warfare and what some of the characteristics are. How do you know it's being done against you or your church? How do you unleash the kingdom in the context of it? How to look for spiritual awakening and, again, seeing God demonstrate. Because in the book of Acts, if you've been studying that, you will see that there's constant power encounters, and in every case, God overwhelms the enemy. Remember the story in the Old Testament Moses had to deal with Pharaoh. Pharaoh believed in a high-level territorial god, a demon god. And it was probably one of the most occultic, I mean, just areas and nation and everything that came. I mean, you could read today even of some of the overwhelming occult, probably again, Nephilim bloodline that built the entire structures of the pyramids and the occult spirituality of that day. And Moses had to go before Pharaoh and deal with him. Remember what happened? Two of the magicians, I mean real magicians, that really knew the satanic powers came. And there was to be a demonstration right before Pharaoh. And they threw down their staves and they became snakes. And Moses then was called to throw down the rod of God, the staff of God, and it became a snake. That's what we're talking about when we say power encounter. The kingdom of God encounters the kingdom of darkness, and individuals are involved. People from that side are involved, and believers from the side of God are involved. And God continues to demonstrate an overwhelming and crushing power. If there are believers who will stand in the field and be obedient to the Lord Jesus, and as you read the book of Acts, you're going to see that they continue to win again and again and again as they were obedient to Christ, the authority of the Lord, the presence of God, the working of God, even sending angels was involved in those power encounters and battles. And more people got saved, more people got healed, more people got delivered, Christians became stronger, and the kingdom continued to grow. Well, that doesn't mean that Satan has gone away, and he simply has not. That will not occur until the very, very end when he is cast, you know, in chains down and eventually to the lake of fire after the great white throne judgment. We'll maybe even touch on that in weeks 11 and 12, but week 11... we're going to take a look at the satanic final solution. What is the ultimate agenda with Satan and the Jews, Satan and the Christians, Satan and the world around us, as he brings about a counterfeit incarnation? Antichrist is simply a counterfeit incarnation, probably bloodlined all the way back to the days of the Nephilim, just like Jesus' bloodline goes all the way back to Adam and is uncorrupted. The satanic bloodline, especially to bring about the Antichrist, a counterfeit incarnation, we'll take a look at. We'll see a counterfeit resurrection. We'll see counterfeit miracle signs and wonders. We'll see a counterfeit saving of the world, per se. And so this is the satanic final solution, his insatiable hatred towards Israel and the church and of God, this little horn that Daniel talks about that will have a tremendous mouth and boast against the God of heaven, and all the things that he's going to do. And we'll see a lot of that in Daniel and some of that in the book of Revelation. When we go through that and peer through that, we're going to then come to week 12. Now, along the way, we're going to encourage you even now to, along every single week, of course, at the local class, you know, ask questions. We'll incorporate those into the recorded podcast teachings that go out to the other students. And students from the rest of the United States and England, send in your questions through the email, and I will add those questions on a weekly basis, so you will hear your questions brought about in the CDs, the teachings, the lectures, and the answers that we'll have, and maybe some of the discussion that will go on. So that will be a tremendous time. Week 12, we're going to take a look at the other side of the fence. Now it's the King of Heaven's turn. And not only what he's doing now, what he'll do in the midst of the tribulation, especially what he's going to do when he returns. And what an incredible ending that we're going to find when Jesus returns, and that we will be with him. Believer, that's what it's all about. And we're going to have tremendous time when the Lord Jesus returns. But until that time, he is out to win the world, to win the most. Even in the Gospel of Mark, Jesus says he's not going to return until the gospel is preached to every single culture, nation, person, tribe, to all the world, all of it. And we still have part of that world to go to, let alone the world around us. So it's very important we realize that the greatest way to confront the powers of darkness is to be involved in the Great Commission. You're going to see that in the book of Acts. that as they were involved in the Great Commission, under the power of God, exercising the authority of the Lord, that's where the kingdom of God was advanced, demonstrations of power, even in the context of, in-your-face satanic presence was there. We see the church the enemy not being able to prevail against it. But again, it's the obedient church. The obedient church. And part of that area of obedience is in the area of prayer. And we want to lay out the first 2 weeks anyway, the foundations of prayer, how we do some of the prayer mapping. So if you want to take a time, and it's been 30 minutes now to turn off the CD, and we usually take a break around now, and you can go through some of the materials, think through some of it, get your questions ready to send. But then we also want then, as you come back, to take a look at some of the study questions for the book that's called Prayer on Fire. And I think you've got about 11 chapters, and we got a simple question for each one of those. And we're just simply asking you in the next 2 weeks or so, 3 weeks or so, just take time to go through that book. And as you read a chapter, just simply, you don't have to put a big, long bunch of information. Just simply, write some, one sentence, two sentence answers. The biggest thing is, see what God shows you, what you can add to when it comes to your ability to pray. The book, the emphasis of the book is, it's very tremendous emphasis because it deals with, praying with the aid of the Spirit of God, praying with the presence and power and fire of God, leading you and guiding you and directing you. Now, you'll hear me talk about this in some of the training CDs that you get. Obviously, it's there for a reason. We have a prayer map that we've developed over the years. And what we do with that, and you can turn to the beginning of that, it simply just says the strategic, targeted intercession and spiritual warfare. It's simply a very large prayer request sheet. But it's to be used interactively, in a sense that you, as you use it on a weekly basis, that you seek the Lord for more scriptures, you seek the Spirit's guidance, you take time to do what the Scripture says in 1 Timothy chapter 2, when the Holy Spirit says, "I urge that first of all, the prayers and requests." That word "request" comes from a Greek word, the Greek word that means details, very focused details. That we lay out before the Lord details concerning, our life and the things we're praying about. So let's open the first page of the prayer map. And simply looking there, you're going to see this, the word preparation. This is the only thing you're to focus on right now. Take a look at the scripture in James, "Come near to God, He'll come near to you." On the left-hand side, you have just some things down. This is where we come before God and say, "Lord, here I am. Do I need to repent of anything? Get rid of any sin, any cleansing by the blood of Christ that I need right now? I come to surrender. I come to lift up faith. I come to welcome the Holy Spirit to help me and lead me and guide me, to make sure I have the armor of God on, to make sure I'm prepared for this prayer time." Well, hey, let me tell you in advance that you're not going to be able to do this prayer map in 5-10 minutes. As a matter of fact, the first time you do it, you might take a couple of hours. Because it's not just reading pages. It's simply coming before the Lord in preparation, as you will also get the CD on this. And that'll explain things even more. I'm just simply telling you, as you go through page by page, you focus on preparation and getting yourself ready before the Lord. If you go to the next page, page 2, it deals with worship. I mean, here's where you simply come before God and just pour out your worship. And again, follow the CD and the teaching. I think it's about a one-hour teaching, maybe 70 minutes worth of teaching that I have on the disc that we have given out to the students outside of the local class. And we want you to keep that disc and go over it again and again. And the second part of your time with God is just spending time in worship, being before Him. When you're kind of done in your worship and praising Him and worshiping Him, and you're just filled with the Spirit of God, then you move on. You move on to what He said. Jesus said, to pray for the kingdom. Pray for the kingdom to come, that God's will would be done on earth as it's being done in heaven. And if you read again 1 Timothy chapter 2, you're going to find out that it is the will of God. And it says about the praying for souls and praying for lives. This is good and pleases God our Savior, who wants all men to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. And if you've studied the background of spiritual awakenings that occurred in England and the United States, where hundreds of thousands of individuals got saved in a short time, where through the Wesleys in England and Whitfield and so forth, great, you know, spiritual awakening came. Some sociologists wrote that it may have saved England from social collapse. God is still in the work of bringing about great revival, great spiritual awakening. Mass historic spiritual awakening is all about saving hundreds of thousands of lives and bringing them and sweeping them into the kingdom. Well, we need to be praying for that, because that's how it comes about. Count Zinzendorf and the Moravians we've read about in history, and others in the great prayer movements. But it takes you and I, and where we're at, we can weld a great power. If there's nobody praying, you can be sure that nothing's going to be happening. And if there's just people praying about their own needs, then there's nothing going to happen on a larger scale. So when we start praying, we've been praying for the region that I live in over 20 years. We've been visiting 30-some cities around us, praying the same things for spiritual awakening, for hundreds of thousands to be saved, for God to strike the area in such a way that He just turns the hearts of men and women to God, that He crushes satanic powers of deception and the oppression that's in the air. That God give empowerment to the church to lead many people to Christ. Now, you don't have to wait for this to come. You get out there and start winning souls. One of the neat things is we read in the book of Acts chapter 8 that literally spiritual awakening came to a town, not because they waited for years and years, but because Philip went in, preached the kingdom of God. People got healed. People got saved. People got delivered, even in the context of confronting the demonic powers in Simon. Even in the context of demons being in people, the high and the low. Read Acts chapter 8, and you'll see how God's kingdom just literally came and blessed the city. Matter of fact, the scripture testifies that the city was full of joy at the end of the work of Philip. And this is how it should be. When we go into areas, when we're going out sharing Christ, if we're going into areas to preach Christ and to pray for people and care and love them and help free them from demonic presence, well, then there's going to be great joy. The after effects is that God has come, that there's His power, His love, His grace, that God is awesome, and that He will demonstrate powerful things. So just let the Holy Spirit get a hold of you. And again, just stay close to what the... I'm not going to go through all these in this part of it, because you've got the disc, the CD, that will take you through page by page. Page 4 deals with praying for victims of the satanic agenda. And that could be, again, from anybody you know that's caught up in a cult, the occult, to victims of satanic ritual abuse, people that really have a sense of Satan gripping their lives. They need believers to use the authority of Jesus to pray for them, to find the victims, to get to them and bring Christ in His healing. Page 5. Here's where we pray for exposure of all the demonic workings around us. We ask the Lord for discernment. We ask the Lord for insight and revelation about what's going on, so we know how to respond. That takes us to page 6. Here's where we pray against the satanic powers, whether in people, in areas, wherever we have been shown demonic presence and powers operating. We pray for the defeat and destruction of satanic works, demonic presence, and the enemy's attacks against churches and people and so forth. That's why we've been given authority. That's why we are putting on the armor of God. That's what prayer can do in praying down the satanic works and all around us, even in your life and your family's life. So very important. Again, listen to the disc as you have that with you, and you'll be able to take, you know, an hour or so to go through that. Again, continue to write notes, write down scripture, all that the Holy Spirit... Listen, experience God in the midst of your praying. If you surrender to Him and just come to Him in faith and just, you know, use the Word of God and ask the Holy Spirit to guide, you're going to find that you're going to have a growing fire of the Spirit's presence in your life. And that application will be in praying for lost individuals and family members and others, for your church. It'll also be used in warfare and praying against the satanic developments and presence and so forth. In that praying, continue to write down requests, write down the names of lost people, write down the names of people you know that are caught up in the satanic agenda, write down the names of those who are leading in the satanic agenda, that you want to pray for their salvation. Pray against the deception that they're in and against the demonic structures, but pray for their salvation. Page 7 deals with just focusing on the body of Christ, local churches, and praying for revival and praying for the body of Christ to be what it should. So I want you to take a look over the left-hand side about praying for its purity and that the church will be filled with the presence of God and the Word of God, that revival come and so forth, because the other side is infiltrating. And we want to see the church. Now look at the seven churches in the book of Revelation, and you'll see that more than half of them had problems with satanic infiltration. The Nicolaitans, Jezebel, in one city where Jesus told them Satan has his throne, and that Satan will throw some of them in prison. So they all had warfare around them, and the Lord was interacting with them, telling them what they needed and, you know, to get rid of too, so there'd be no compromise. Don't give any room to occultic and liberal and demonic teaching. And in our personal lives, and especially in the body of the Christ, the Bible says the church is supposed to be the pillar and foundation of the truth. And there Jesus shows in those seven churches in Revelation, you know, chapters 1 through 3, specifically in 2 also, that there's just no toleration for satanic infiltration. And we need to have a heads up about that. Page 8 deals with praying to God and the Lord of the harvest to send more laborers. You might want to ask God where you're at. Send more laborers, prayer laborers. You know, it's great. You know, you can pray on your own. I've done that today. Spend time before God. But you know what? Getting together with a group to pray and to prayer and to do targeted prayer and to see the effects. Can I tell you one thing? Prayer was designed to get answers. And that's what it's all about. Jesus said, ask, you shall receive, seek, you shall find, knock, and the door will be opened. Prayer is all about getting answers, all about seeing the grace of God come about, the miracle of God come about, the working of God to come about, to extend the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is not a matter of talk, but of power and love and joy in the Holy Spirit. So it's an important thing if you want to get some people together and use part of your class time in developing a small prayer group that will help. You can copy these prayer maps, or I can send you some other ones, or have them on the web for you to download. And you can use them together and taking your time going point by point and letting God take you through each targeted area. Well, listen, when we come to page 9, this is where we pray blessing for each other. And this is a great thing. You know, when I'm with a team and we're out doing one of our outreach trips and stuff, you know, I've got brothers in that car and sisters too that, you know, we're praying for each other right there in the car. You know, we're praying as the Holy Spirit leads me. I'm the person next to me on the right, then eventually the person on the left, depending on how we have our group set up. I'm going to be praying for all of them, but, you know, there might be times I just reach over, put a hand on a shoulder, pray for somebody. The Lord might give me a word for them, a word of encouragement, a scripture. He might have me pray. We pray for each other in every area to stay, for each other to be protected from the evil one, for each other to be using our spiritual gifts and empowered to witness. And we pray for each other to help, you know, win a soul to Christ. So it's a tremendous thing to have believers every week around you. Then they're going to pray for God to bless you, to touch your life, pray about all of your life, and be open to if the Holy Spirit has something to say to you. That's an important thing too. So bless your brothers and sisters in prayer. See what God, the Holy Spirit, wants you to pray for them. Maybe He might give you a word or a specific thing. This is, again, where you're going to have to take time. Take time. Now, there's, you know, in my life right now, I don't have to use these pages, but I use them because I know them pretty well now after all these years. You're not really bound by them. They're just simply the starting, the first step. Let God add to everything. Let God give you, you know, in each page. You know what? You're going to be able to write down. I have written down answers. People that got saved, healed, delivered, things that have happened, things that God has shown me. I've written them down in my prayer map. And you know what? I've kept that for years now, you know, and I keep adding to it and adding to it and adding to it. And I have a whole history of what God has done. I can look at things from a year or two ago and see, man, this is what we were praying. This is what we were asking. And look how God answered. Look what God gave. Look at the leading He gave. Look at who got saved. Look what victim we found, and God plucked them out. Very important to realize that it becomes kind of a spiritual journal. to see the interactions of what God is doing in your life and through you and through your team. Tremendous things Jesus will show you if you'll let him. But you got to give him the time. Listen, on the 10th page, which is kind of like the last page, and again, you can always add to these pages. It's about your life and simply asking the Lord, you know what? Why don't you just ask the Lord today, Lord Jesus, how do I pray about myself? You know, you might know what your needs are, but the Holy Spirit knows more about what you need than anybody else. And if you just yield yourself to the Lord and say, Holy Spirit, Lord Jesus, show me how I should pray for myself. You know, write down things. Maybe God's going to, you know, lead you to, hey, you might need to study a certain book of the Bible a lot to get certain principles. You might, you know, God might speak to you here. If you're a married person, how I speak to you about your spouse and, family, your whole family. You know, prayer map your whole family. Prayer map your circumstances, the place where you work, your job. But this is about your life, and you've been, according to John chapter 15, you've been chosen to bear fruit. And God wants you to do that. And he wants your prayer life to be a joy. And so I love doing this too, praying and asking the Lord, Lord, what do I need? And sometimes when I have that request in my heart, you know what I do? I go out and I say, listen, the Lord's been showing me that I should be praying, you know, this thing over my life, and I should be praying. And so I'm going to ask you to pray for this too. Whether it be healing, whether it be dealing with something from the past, whether it's something that God is leading you, whether it's a calling in your life, maybe you feel a calling God's and wants you to pray about things or giftings that God has given you. And just again, write those things down. You know, you can write down even in the context of spiritual war. Lord Jesus, how is the enemy attacking me? What is the weak points? In what way is he coming? And then just really, you know, be just yielded to the Lord and to see what he's going to say to you, how he's going to speak to you. And it's a tremendous thing. And you'll need to be able to do this for the next 12, 14 weeks to really learn to just be deep in prayer with the Lord Jesus, to let it be a time of powerful, powerful interaction. So I encourage you to get to it right away. You know, read through the prayer book, especially delve into the book of Acts. Look how they prayed, especially in Acts chapter 4, how they raised their voices together to God in prayer. How those brothers and sisters prayed together in such a way, in unison. They joined in prayer. They used Scripture. The Holy Spirit brought Scripture in their prayer. And God gave them insight. And they put out their request to become bolder and bolder. And right there, God answered them. And the power of the Holy Spirit fell, and the whole place was shaken. And those believers, They weren't silenced. They were encouraged from the power of God from heaven to go out and continue to be a witness. And as you read, as they stepped out, they began to witness and share and just unleash the word of Christ again and again and again. And that's what it's all about. Either the enemy's going to suppress you and outwit you and keep you defeated, or you're going to stand up in the Lord Jesus, and you're going to be strong in the Lord, and you're going to grow no matter where you've been, no matter what you've come through, whether you're somebody who's been a victim or recovering through things. God has a design and a purpose for you in Christ like he does everybody else. So I want to encourage you, take up the cross, deny self, and follow Jesus daily. Meet with him daily. Be committed to your learning time, your growing time. My prayers are with you on a personal level, and we're going to just trust that God is going to just use us in a local sense here, those across the country, and to our friend in England. And we're going to see how big this internet class will eventually become. Maybe we're going to add a chat room or maybe a forum to the class, to where students can come in and exchange some things that I can get on it once in a while, and to write things also. So that might be a good thing. I'll let you know if we're able to put up the forum or a chat room area to for all the students to go. And maybe even have in the years past, we had a chat room for Shatter, and we had a designated time in which two or three of the leaders would get on and respond to individuals. And it was a tool for witnessing. It was a tool for just interacting too. So I want to encourage you. I'm excited for you, excited that you're a part of this. And we've prayed for God to send students and for those to be engaged. And you're one of them. And we encourage you that even if you get this week, you have time to ask a friend or two to get involved also. They can take the class And so I really do. I pray that you'll not be alone. Even if you are, that's okay. I've taken courses like this, from distance, and just you're with Jesus. The living Christ is with you. The Holy Spirit will help you. The Word of God is before you. And here we are praying with you too. Let me have a prayer. Father, I thank you right now for all the students locally across this nation and in England also. I pray, God, that you'll just continue to grant students from many places that we will grow together in the knowledge, in the grace, in the empowerment of the Lord Jesus Christ. As it says in Acts 9:22, that we would grow more and more powerful. That, God, we become more and more fruitful, that we would really know you well, and we would know the enemy and what's happening right now in the world around us, that we would be an effective tool to impact the world around us. And so, God, I just simply pray for the class. Bless all the students. Bring all who you want to be involved. Minister to every single student that is, you know, taking the class. Protect them in the weeks to come. Cause them to be strong and to be courageous, to resist the temptations of the enemy, and to buckle down and to get before the Lord Jesus and to learn of him and to learn of the Word of God and to learn together with students. Listen, you're part of the organization Shadow of the Darkness class, Confronting the Powers, through the Great Commission. And we ask the Lord to bless you and keep you, make his faces shine upon you. We ask the Lord to strengthen you, and it'd be a great thing someday to meet you face to face. But until then, the Lord bless you.